So how can we understand what the church is? Well, one of the best known pictures, images, metaphors to help us understand what the church is a flock with a shepherd. When the last pope who died, the president of the United States said that the Catholic Church had lost their shepherd. It certainly seemed like that. The astonishing outpouring of love, sorrow and gratitude. He belonged to them and they belonged to him. And now they were like sheep without a shepherd. It's just a poetic image, but it speaks to us of something true and deep. How being part of the church offers a kind of special relationship, a togetherness and a shared sense of being part of the same thing, the flock of God. And the Bible is replete with poetry making just that point. Ezekiel wonderfully describes the Good Shepherd. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Feels pretty good to be part of that flock with that shepherd looking out for us. And we sing about it, the King of Love, my shepherd is. We honour the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. It has currency and meaning, and it speaks to us with truth and comfort. And it also means, as the parable suggests, that when someone drifts off out of the life of the church, for whatever reason, we feel as if one of the precious flock has gone missing. We want to enfold them and bring them back to be with the rest of us, safe in the care of the loving shepherd. My last church, as you may know, was in the little seaside town of Dunbar, which was famous for being the birthplace of John Muir, the renowned environmentalist, founder of the national parks in the USA. We pretty much had to read his books, his wonderful books about the forests and the rivers, nature raw and majestic. In one, he describes his time as a shepherd in Yosemite. Yosemite now, thanks to his efforts, a national park. He lived there deep and far in the mountains of America, with sheep to be guarded and protected and found food. To deal with the threat of attacks from bears and wolves, he had not a collie dog, but a giant St. Bernard dog to assist him. Shepherds and their sheepdogs, rounding up the sheep, protecting the flock, finding green pastures. Sometimes I'm not sure if people think I'm the shepherd or the sheepdog. I really don't want people to feel like that, that they're being hounded, herded in, rounded up, bossed into a pen by the church. Yet we who do care deeply about where people are and how they are in their faith, it matters. In fact, we have a group dedicated to caring for the flock, caring for others. It's especially hard when people who are safe in the fold somehow find themselves far away from the safe place. That's a particular concern and a responsibility. I once had a chance to hold a little lamb in my arms. It was a lovely experience. I was strong and it was safe and secure, protected. We feel like that about each person in the church, precious and important. We want them to feel secure, enfolded. Whatever their situation, need or crisis, it's what we do, it's what we're meant to do. Of course, the truth is, there's only one true shepherd of the church. The Lord Jesus is the shepherd who ministers to us. Elders and ministers might be sub-shepherds, deputy shepherds. And we try to follow his example, who cares for the sheep, who leads the sheep, who makes sacrifices for the sheep. They hear his voice. and they know whose voice it is. So though we know it's poetry and pictures and we're not sheep, yet we see where the picture takes us. We can sing with real feeling, "The Lord's my shepherd." It still works after all these years. We can still sing it, think about what it means, feel what it means. It's often thought by the experts that the New Testament book of Acts presents a rather idealised picture of the early church. A time when everything was sweetness and light, innocence and peace, harmony and unity. Well, maybe not so much. For there are terrible and disturbing stories of the early church. Cracks in the veneer, differences and debates, glimmerings of controversy, division not far away. That happens, people being people, people split off, follow their own preference. And yet, at its heart, the picture persists in the New Testament of a special fellowship of the Spirit there in the early church, a shared interest in the apostles' teaching, the delight of quality time with each other, the faith deepened, experience of prayer together, the uplift and joy of worshipping together, hospitality at the heart of generous and thankful fellowship. And clearly it worked. It attracted new members. If it had been narrow, exclusive, cold and unwelcoming, the church would soon have died out. And you would hardly think that that could happen, that a church could be cold, unwelcoming, narrow and exclusive. But it does happen. I was chatting at the church barbecue last Sunday with someone who was sharing his experience of how, as a young man in Edinburgh, he'd gone to visit a church for the first time and found it cold, unwelcoming, self-absorbed. He felt sidelined, ignored. So, not unnaturally, he went to another church where he was welcomed, shown hospitality, invited, included, named and embraced. So which one do you think he chose to belong to? Experiencing and offering fellowship is about looking out for newcomers, about spending time and taking time together so that we're not just isolated individuals doing our private religious thing. Without rushing to intimacy, we do seek in the spirit of Christ's welcome to get beyond politeness to belonging, to feeling responsibility towards each other, for each other. There's a book called "What Do You Say After You Say Hello?" It invites us to answer that question in a creative and in a Christian way. What do we say after we've said hello? Where do we take it next? If we're serious about allowing fellowship to happen, to deepen and to be real, we need to make it happen and we need to make it real. So that's about looking out for opportunities to be the kind of people who do that. And I'll tell you this, I'm certain there's no other way to be a missionary church, to grow the church. Not big, massive campaigns and crusades. One welcome at a time. One new friendship at a time. One act of loving friendship at a time. All of us, open and welcoming and generous, daring to walk the second mile. Another picture or image of the church is as a family, the household of faith, brothers and sisters in Christ. But what does that mean? What does that feel like? It reminds us that we're not a club with a shared interest. We're not an organisation with common purpose or agenda, but a loving family, old and young. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. Key phrases from the New Testament point us to the truth of this quality of relationship in Christ. See how these Christians love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for another. Not because we sing bright contemporary praise or preserve the rich heritage of the musical past. Not because we have the smartest, most historic church, not because we know our Bible from cover to cover, but because by a miracle of God's grace, for all our differences, and in spite of all our differences, of age, background, education, theological persuasion, ecclesiastical preference, in spite of all the things that might come between us, we love one another. We are the family of God. It all fails, it all means nothing if we don't have that love at the centre. And that happens, and that becomes true when we know each other, when we step out on that second mile together. Then we find out that we can share or develop the same spirit, the same obedience, the same vision. And the fact that we're all different fits in with that wider picture. That's part of the fun, part of the gift, part of the miracle. Care and compassion, encouragement of gifts, respect of uniqueness, allowing room, knowing that when one part of the family is hurting, we all share their pain. We surround them with our love, our prayers, our support. We listen, we keep in touch, we make sure that they know they are not forgotten. We are family. How does it feel to be part of that? Very special. Very wonderful. And we need to ask God's help to make it real. A flock, a fellowship, a family. All true, all important, all being the church.